Well, today the lesson is about more about clothing imagery. Can you tell me a time in your life you've been touched physically and the impact had a tremendous impact? When's the last time? I mean, I'm sure everyone hopefully has been touched today. But what's the last time you remember being touched and the impact it had on you? Anybody have a remembrance of something? Go ahead.
When I was going through my end of my finals for my class, I was doing this paper, and I was going through, I guess what you say, an emotional breakdown because there was just so much stuff on me. My mom came and helped me.
Okay, so you were in intense frustration dealing with that paper, trying to get meet deadlines to get everything. Death of your brother. And then you had your mother touch you. Remember that touch. Okay. How about the rest of you? Come on in here. Go ahead.
I work in cardiac cath.
Uh-huh.
And I always, you know, touch my patients. And a few days ago, there was a lady that we were doing, and I, you know, went up and touched her, and she reached up with her hand and just grabbed my hand. And that was just amazing.
Okay, so you do that routinely, but this touch, she responded back. She put her hand on your hand, and that was a reciprocating touch.
Yes.
Okay, how about the rest of you? Can you recall something in your... whenever that you remember somebody touching you in a specific way. Anybody else have any remembrance or anything that they thought of? Go ahead.
It happens occasionally, just the grandkids doing something with them and they just walk over and hug you, or to see them walking along and grab your hand, and it just seems like it's always something special.
Okay, so they're reaching out and grabbing your hand or coming over and hugging you. How about the rest of you?
Does it have to be a physical response?
Yeah, I'm talking about physical today, touching. What is when have you experienced in your life that sense of being touched on a physical? And what was significant? I mean, all of us, probably most of us in life, have been touched thousands of times, but somehow one or two stands out. What happens in that touch? You know, we had an emotional distress, very challenging, you're being touched. You know, receiving love and affection touched. You know, it's an offering of comfort. So when there's an offering of comfort, go ahead. Something happened to you in reaching out to touch her. And that's the interesting part. You reached out, you sensed her emotional stress, distress, whatever, and something happened to you. The story we have today that we're talking about in the quarterly is Jesus being in this crowd of people and someone touching his garment. And he said, "Who touched me?" Have you ever been in a crowd have you ever thought, "Who touched me?" You don't think, "Who touched me?" It's, "How did I get out of this? Everyone's touching me." But he said, "Who touched me?" Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, I feel like I just have to say that I had a patient a few years ago that was a hospice patient. And she, I'm the chaplain, so I'm not medical. Mm-hmm. But this lady was blind and deaf and had some amount of dementia as well. And I wondered how. I prayed, how am I going to reach her? Mm-hmm. She can't hear me. She can't see me. And she fought everyone that came close. So I've been warned to be careful. She was in a wheelchair. I went up to her and took her hand was on the wheelchair. I just took it like this, you know. And she didn't pull away. And so I just stayed with her a little bit to see. I could feel her relax a little. And I think I put my hand on her neck also, you know, like this. And after a little while, I mean, I couldn't say anything to her. I was afraid to get too close. And ultimately, this lady put her head in my hand.
Wow.
And went to sleep.
Wow.
I can tell you that I was just overcome with wondering what that all meant. But somehow, trust was the foundation, I guess.
Right. But what's interesting is something happened to you. You were going to comfort this woman who's blind, can't hear, Alzheimer's, dying, and something happened to you. You know, can you have the experience of truly being touched where something doesn't happen to you? And you think about Jesus. He was in this crowd. He was among all of these people. They were on their way to Jairus. Is that how you say his name? Jairus? Anyway, they were on the way to this man's house whose daughter was sick and was near death. And he was wanting her. He was wanting Jesus to come and heal his daughter. So you can imagine his experience. Come on, let's hurry, get these crowds out here, trying to get these people. People everywhere. And Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me?" Why did he stop and say, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, "Well, Jesus, what do you mean who's touching you? We're trying to get him away. Well, you know, we're doing our best here. What are you talking about?" And he said, "Who touched me?" There was a difference between the touch of that woman and everybody else's touch. Go ahead.
She's on dialysis, but she was in ICU. And the dialysis nurse was in there with her, and she says, she's asking for you, because I was a nurse, and I went in there. And she says, "I need you." And she touched my hand, and I could feel some shivers go down through all my whole body.
Come
just,
in.
Prayed together, you know, but like when I hear you talk, it was different, because I've had a lot of patients touch me, you know. But I could literally feel like a shiver, and she just felt like she needed somebody. She said, "Don't go." I mean, I stayed for about maybe 20, 30 minutes with her, and she just kind of calmed down, and you know. So I think sometimes, yes, something does happen.
Something happened, and Jesus in his experience stopped and wanted to know who touched me. Now this woman had kind of backed out of the crowd. She was kind of like, "Okay, let's get out of here. Let's kind of move away." But he wanted to acknowledge who touched him. And then the woman fell at his feet, and, you know, said, "It was I." And Jesus wanted to make sure it was understood. This was about the woman and her faith in him. It was about what happened in response to this woman. There was a lot of people around. There were probably a lot of people there who needed to be touched by Jesus. But they didn't have the faith. They didn't have the longing. They didn't recognize who he was. Maybe it was a bunch of people just crowding around to see what this whole thing was about. But Jesus wanted to reaffirm what this faith meant and what happened to her as a result of her faith, just touching his garment. And I've read in Ellen White where she talked about Jesus knew this woman was seeking him and was going close to where the woman was. Now, as Ernie and Rob always talk about, what is this story about? Is it about a woman being healed? About the love of God. How do you see it about the love of God?
Outpouring for her good.
Outpouring for his good?
For her.
for her? What? What?
The amazing thing about this story is the woman's faith.
The woman's faith.
And most people who have received healing from Jesus have received it through touch from him. Mm-hmm. But here she says, I'm not even going to touch his skin, I'll just touch the hem of his garment.
Right.
Amazing faith.
The woman did have an amazing faith. But is it about the woman's faith? I'd like to keep the slant on. This, to me, is a story about how God is constantly looking for anyone who has that woman's faith and is willing to reach out. The story talks about this woman's been for 13 years in distress. She's exhausted all of her financial resources on doctors, on people, to try to heal. And there's not been any healing. It's actually gotten worse. And now she has the belief, if I just can touch his garment. She first wanted to get closer, but as the crowds pressed, she just thought, if I can touch his garment. Look at to me about what does that say about God? That he is wanting, he's willing to, just if we just reach out and touch his garment, how he will respond, how he will restore, how he's looking to create a relationship. To me, it's an exciting story, and to me, it shows that God is impacted by our response to him. Jesus knew there was somebody touched him differently than everybody else was touching him. That patient, you were impacted by that patient reaching out and wanting you. That patient that put their hand over your hand. You touch all of your patients, but they put their hand, something happened to you. And I think that's something that's kind of lost at times. The fact that in our touch, in our experience, there's, if we're really in a reciprocating relationship, everyone is having something happen to them. How many years has it been since that woman fell asleep in your hands? 7 years. It's still with you today. You can talk about it, still is intense and it still has meaning. How many years for you when you hugged that woman at the altar? Your kids were little many moons ago, 20 years ago. It still has impact today. And that's the interesting thing, is when in these kind of experiences, the impact continues to evolve over and over. And all this woman did was, I believe this man can heal me. If I just could touch his garment. You know, we don't know if she physically reached down through the crowd. We don't know if she was. We're not sure about all. I'm not sure of all the physical dynamics of this crowd, but it was just a touch of his garment. And then she fell down, and when Jesus acknowledged who touched me, and then the relationship. Go ahead.
Amazing that he acknowledged her in front of everyone.
Absolutely.
He could have just made eye contact with her and, mm-hmm. you know, like, I know who you are, I know what happened.
Right.
But he acknowledged her faith in front of everybody.
Absolutely.
And he wanted everybody to know who it was.
Absolutely. He wanted them to see. You know, he gets on to Jairus' home and the little girl's died. And everyone's crying. Everyone's in a state of, and he says, oh, she's just asleep, and they start laughing at him. You can see over and over again in Jesus' ministry how people have very little understanding of who he is and was. And I wonder that today. I think there's no difference in us today. I think we sometimes struggle. He's nice out there, but what is it in here? What's the personal experience of Jesus is my Savior? This is my salvation. You know, that woman Sometimes we need to exhaust everything we have. Sometimes we need to go down a lot of different roads till we're finally saying, if I just could touch his garment. Sometimes we need those things. But it's interesting to think about how that impacted all that whole people there. And you imagine what the disciples were thinking. Imagine their experience. You know what's phenomenal is to see over a 3.5 year period how the disciples walked and witnessed these kinds of things daily. And then at the Last Supper, they were there worrying about who sat on what side. They were there trying to jockey for a position. They were there concerned about this. That to me is phenomenal, but it's really no different than any of us in our lives. Think of how God has led you in your life, and then in a moment of panic, how everything gets discombobulated. How everything becomes disorientated because all of a sudden we're not sure it's going to happen this time. Maybe this won't occur this time. Go ahead.
The story, the number of characters are depicted.
Hello.
The number of characters are depicted in the story. This is for the disciples who were with him.
Right.
When he stopped to pose the question, they kind of got a little upset.
Yeah, they were, what's the matter with you?
All about you, and you're asking who touched you, there might be something wrong with you. Okay. Secondly, Jairus himself, whose daughter was at the verge of dying, was anxious.
Oh, absolutely.
He must get there and do something about it.
Absolutely.
And instead of moving on, he stops and says, who touched me?
Yeah, you can imagine.
Then God uses the opportunities, the avenues that are available to prove His love to us.
Absolutely.
And it could be in any form at all. You only need to give Him the opportunity, and He will come through.
Just reach out and touch Him's cloak in believing He can save. I think that's a powerful message. There was interesting a lesson today that they had several different things. And I want to move on to the next one where it talks about he's laid aside his garments. Now you look at this experience where he has this experience of being touched by this woman and being healed. Now you look at the experience with his disciples. What an interesting dynamic there. What an interesting experience to think about how he was with his disciples there, and there was no servant to wash the disciples and his feet. And you can imagine what the question is. Okay, who's going to do it? You know, have you ever been among a group and you're not sure who's going to take charge? Well, I think you should do it. Oh, you're the one. Oh, or who's going to take out the garbage? Well, I took it out last week. You know, you can imagine all the kinds of things that occurred in this kind of thing. Well, I'm not going to do it. Once again, here there was all of this thing. And can you imagine the experience of Jesus being among this and knowing He knows what's going to happen? He knows what in a few days what's going to go down. And yet He is sitting here with these people and they are all trying to decide who's going to wash feet and how this is going to happen. And He takes off His garment and He gets the water and He takes the towel and He starts washing the feet of the disciples. What do you think it was like when He reached out to Judas? Judas, by this time, had already made his pact with the Jewish leaders. What was it like for him to reach down and wash the feet of the man who's going to betray him? You know, it's a phenomenal thing. To me, Jesus continually is trying to illustrate to His disciples, as well as to us today, what it truly means to be a follower of His. It means you reach out and you look for opportunities to be a service to others. And you know what the interesting part is? Something happens to you when you do that. About noon on Wednesday, I was crossing over 157 at 20. And I looked up and there was this big old Suburban with about three girls, 13 to 17 or so, pushing it. And they were barely moving that way, I guess, with a mom inside. And you know that thing has got a pretty steep on it. So I put my car, and they were in the left-hand lane. You know, traffic was backing up. So I put my car in park and put my thing on. And we pushed that thing up over that little top. Man, my heart was beating. But something happened to me. I stopped my world, there for to be enter into their world. Something happened to me. So Jesus, when he took off his garment and started to wash his disciples' feet, something happened to him. Something happened to the disciples. And then don't you love Peter? Oh, no, Lord, this will never happen. You're never going to wash my feet. No, 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 I could never let you do that. Oh, compulsive, impulsive Peter. And then Jesus simply says, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. What a powerful statement. What a powerful statement. If you don't let me serve you, you will never be part of my kingdom. And then Peter's like, oh, you know. And you've got to remember what these disciples were still believing. They still believed that this was going to be the king, the mighty king, the second coming of David. They were going to restore Israel to their prominent place. And they were still caught in that image. And here he's washing their feet. What a contrast between what they believed and what was occurring. That's kind of an interesting dynamic. I think at times when we really recognize and acknowledge Jesus, it's a different image than maybe we've come up with. Go ahead.
The biggest lesson in this is the fact that he washed Judas's feet, because his questions. It's easy for me to go and humble myself to somebody who's nice to me or somebody who I relate to, but somebody who has done me wrong, and then I go and humble myself and help them, that's even more difficult. Uh-huh. And that's the lesson he's trying to teach us, that as Christians, we're supposed to treat everybody the same, regardless of whether they're good to you or not.
Absolutely. We recognize the inherent value in humanity, and everyone has that inherent value. A sermon was on that today, and it was good to look at. How do we treat those that we think of are our enemies? You know, how do we relate to them? And Jesus, in his way, was trying to help the disciples understand who he is. So that story to me is a dramatic one. I mean, you know, sometimes we read these stories and they're nice stories, but you think about the actual experience of being there. And then later, thinking about it later after they really came to understand that was the Son of God. Imagine what happened to them as they relived and recounted these experiences. Me and my daughter were in CVS last night for a few minutes, and we were getting something for her cat. And I went by Father's Day card, and I said, I haven't needed a Father's Day card for 35 years. And that really had impact when I said it. My father's been dead for 35 years. And it was just a kind of a real sense of recognition. Wow, that has been a long time since I haven't needed to go get a Father's Day card. And sometimes I think, later on, you know, I think his death has more impact in my life today than it actually did at the time. I mean, it had impact, but it's because we start seeing a different significance. The disciples, they started understanding all of what happened to them for those 3.5 years. And don't you imagine they'd love to say, oh, I wish I could have understood it then and gone and done this. Don't you imagine they'd like to have said, oh, I would have jumped down and washed his feet and everybody's feet. But that's the beauty of it. They became understanding of who Jesus really is and was when they were with him. And I think that just speaks volumes about this whole process. Then the lesson goes on. Anybody have any more comments? I mean, I was just curious about all these different little stories about clothing. I think they were very significant. I enjoyed them greatly. The next one is about the priest tearing their clothing when Jesus responded to the fact and acknowledged he was the Son of God. And if you understand the Jewish system, for a priest to rip his clothes was considered a punishment by death. That was the ultimate. So, but you know what's fascinating is, by doing that, they just acknowledged they're no longer needed. I mean, you ever think about it? They were symbolically meant to be the ambassadors, the go-between between the people and God. And by renting their clothes, tearing their clothes, they almost made their own judgment. They the ones that did it. No one struck the priest down. No angel ripped the clothes off. Jesus didn't rip anything off. That person, the high priest, did that. What an interesting sentence he did to his own self. You think about it. It's fascinating how that works. And that's true about each one of us. We create our own judgment on ourselves. We either accept the gift and the love, or we reject it. And rejecting it means God will let us go. Just means he says, you don't know me. You don't trust me. You're not my friend. I guess I'll have to let you go. To me, these are just fascinating how these things work. Because they create the experience of recognizing that they were condemning themselves. The high priest condemned himself by doing that. You know, and he probably, who knows what he was thinking, but you know, in that mindset, you feel so justified in what you're doing. You feel like you're so righteous in what you're doing. But in reality, he was condemning himself. And that's what's fascinating in this process, how Jesus didn't need to say anything more. Go ahead.
I think the whole story, this part is what fascinates me most.
Okay.
And I see the priest standing there as someone who is working on between man and God, interceding between man and God.
Right.
But in the presence of Jesus, no one is the greatest intercessor anymore.
No, absolutely.
When Jesus was there, then the priest was not needed anymore. So I think spiritually he did the right thing. He was not qualified to be the priest. The real priest was there.
Right.
And the other part of the story is that what he did, he should be put to death.
That's right.
But Jesus took his death. And Jesus gave him his righteousness so he can live. So that also brought out the kind of transaction between righteousness of Christ being imputed on us, and then we are set free, and then Jesus goes on the cross.
That's the dichotomy. The ironic thing in this is Jesus was about to die for the very man who ripped his clothes and did this horrible act, according to the Jewish tradition, who should have been put to death. He became that sacrificial lamb. It's fascinating. I mean, the irony of this, the way that works, you know, you think you couldn't have scripted it any better. But this is how God is. He is in charge. He knows. And how many times in our life we think, well, I just got to do this. I need to help God this way. As a parent, I still kind of have struggle with that. No, this is not my world. This is their world, and God's in charge. Because there's still that tendency of, oh, you want to go and do this, you want to help. This is their world. They're in this. This is God's world. Let them and God work it out. So it's fascinating to think about how this story was so symbolic in many ways. What are your thoughts?
I think there is a bit about it also that is interesting. We are told that when Jesus was crucified, that's about the seventh time of the day, the curtain in the temple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rendering the services of the high priest, not in fact, since that time. Before even the curtain was rent, the man rends his clothes, precursor to something that was going on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Whether it was God that was in charge or it was the devil that was in charge, we don't know.
Well,
we'll get to understand when we get there.
Oh, many things like that we don't understand. But what's fascinating is how it really was such a symbolic thing. It really was. It really did mean something. Who else? Anybody else like to say anything? I mean, you just can't make this up. It's recorded, and that's what's fascinating. It's fascinating. Anybody else? I want to give you opportunity. I can get all excited talking and my brain just kind of takes off.
Well, Roger, for all the episodes that we've talked about,
mm-hmm.
he knew that lady was going to touch him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows her beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he didn't really make a scene out of it other than for her to be recognized by him.
Right.
He knew what Judas was going to do. The disciples didn't know. And he didn't expose Judas either.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, it brings it down to us. He knows what we're going to do, but he's not going to make a big deal out of it before everybody else. It's just all on only us and our mental capacity about how we feel, what's happening to us, and how he's willing to be with us.
And you know what? That, to me, is mind-boggling. To understand that God knows, but it doesn't affect. He just continues to love. He continues to do everything. I mean, he could have easily said, "Oh, Judas, I'm going to wash yours. You know why? Get out of here." But he continued to love. He continued to be who he was, because that's who he is. And that as I already said that one time, it really impacted me. That, to me, tells me more about God than even love him even more. The fact that he does know, but that doesn't change who he is. And I tell you, I don't think I have ability to understand that. I believe that, but in my own sense, my own life, I know something's going to happen. I'm trying to look how to prevent it. I'm trying to figure out how to make it different, you know? And that's what God is. He recognizes that this isn't just about this or that. He's looking at this whole picture, and he continues to say he's going to reveal himself so that he can be known. Then another image we have in the lesson is one of mockery. When Jesus had his clothes taken off, and they put on scarlet or purple robe. It says here, the lesson says, the robe could have been the soldier's cloak or one of Pilate's old cast-off garment. Purple was the color of majesty, of royalty. The robe was thrown in mockery around the shoulders of the man who claimed to be the king. Of course, no one is complete without this crown. Jesus' tormentors fashioned him one out of thorns from the sharp shrubs growing in the region of Palestine and placed on his hands a reed, an imitation of a royal scepter. So in their mocking, they were actually doing and acknowledge him. What a fascinating thing. Putting on the royal color, putting on this crown of thorns. And you think about it. Would Jesus not ever... I mean, that just demonstrates once again who he is and what he came to do. He came to be a savior to those that are reaching out for him. And then I want to look at this last one on the part of my garments. You know, sometimes we read about the last week of Jesus and so much is written about it, and that's what we have the most record of. But you think about the ebb and flow of the week from having been with his grumbling disciples and washing their feet to you know, knowing Judas and then being there at Garden of Gethsemane and all of that experience, and then wondering, is it going to be enough? The emotional distress that we read about, and then the actual experience where the soldiers are going to take lots to see who takes his clothing. You know, it says, you know, it's hard to imagine the humiliation Jesus was to endure. At the mock ceremony of the soldiers, he is brought to the cross and then stripped of the last vestiges of his earthly possessions, the clothes off his back. Beaten, rejected, humiliated, and mocked, and now stripped and crucified, Jesus was indeed drinking the bitter cup that the foundation of the world was to be his. And in Psalms 22, we have a story that David writes about this, and Ron's going to read it to us.
Starting with verse 11 of chapter 22 in Psalms. Don't be so far away from me. Trouble has come upon me and there is no one to help. I feel like I'm in a bullpen surrounded by bulls, the fierce kind from Bashan. They seem to be as eager to charge me as hungry lions with their mouths open. My strength and courage are gone. They have drained from my body like water from a broken jar. My arms feel like they're out of their sockets and my heart feels like it's made of wax. My throat is as dry as the desert sands, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. I feel as if you've left me lying in the dust to die. Evil men have surrounded me like a pack of wild dogs. They have pierced my hands and feet. Every part of my body is exposed to the public view. People come and stare at me. They laugh at my nakedness. And finally, verse 18 says, they have stripped me of all my clothing and then gambled to see who gets my cloak.
What an understanding that Jesus must have had as he's on that cross, and he knew this. He has thoroughly studied the writings of the Old Testament. And what do you think that must have been a comfort to him to realize, here I am up here, but David prophesied about this, and here they're doing the very thing they said they're going to do. To me, this reveals more of God's love for us. God's love for Jesus at that moment. You know, Jesus' question is it enough? Is it enough? Is this all going to be enough? And here, one of the last things he sees is the fulfillment of this prophecy, 22 and 18. They're going to gamble for my clothing. I think that just reveals once again how much God loves and how he planned for that moment and had been told about it, and now Jesus in his distress. I mean, there was anything in there that didn't sound like what happened to Jesus? Pierced my hands, he did this, round me this. You know, it's just phenomenal. Once again, it's showing the Father's love for Jesus, his son. And I can imagine what comforting it is to realize, wow, that was what there was being, everything was being fulfilled. And that is a dynamic way I think God continues to love each one of us. Sometimes we have a hard time seeing it. Sometimes we have moments we wonder, oh, is it enough? Am I really doing all I can? Or, you know, and yet we really look back at our lives and we can say, God has been with me all the way. There's been something, there's been a presence every along the way. But at times we struggle because we keep thinking, well, I've got to figure out how to do a little better, or, you know, how do I? And yet, don't you imagine Jesus had questions like that? Is it going to be enough? When in that Garden of Gethsemane, he sees his disciples asleep. He's just been through the experience of washing his disciples' feet. He's had 3.5 years. And do you think about the fact that he kind of could feel like a failure? He could look at this whole thing and say, is it really going to work here? Is this enough? And yet, he remembers that writings of David. He looks at that and here they're doing exactly what was written. How comforting that must have been. How tremendously rewarding that must have been for him to realize everything is happening as planned. Because, you know, we tend to take Jesus out of the realm of recognizing the human struggle. And while he never sinned like you or I, he still had human questions. And I think this, to me, is showing how much God continues to love and to continues to find ways to be comforting. Even to his son. Even to, you know, that to me is a tremendous thing. What are your thoughts when you hear that? You know, you look at the stories we've looked at today. The woman reaching out and touching the garment of Jesus. You know, him humbling himself and being the servant to his disciples. The priest ripping their clothes. You look at all these symbols of clothing. And it's fascinating to understand how in each one, it just revealed more of the difference between God and the devil. And how God is continually looking for each one of us to reach out and touch. And not just reach out, oh, well, maybe I'll try, but reach out because, wow, I need what you have to offer me. You have healing. You have something to offer me. The priest, they ripped their clothes. They didn't reach out to touch Jesus' garment. And yet, they needed it as much as any of us. And yet, they were so caught in their belief about who they thought Jesus was, or who they thought the Messiah was going to be, they didn't see that. I'm reading a book about the mind of Jesus, and it's fascinating that this man talks about Judas, and his struggle was to see Jesus for who he was and who he is instead of who he wanted him to be. Judas had a preconception. Judas had an idea. The disciples, the whole Jewish nation, everyone had a certain belief about what this was going to be and how it would look. And Jesus tore every one of those images to shreds. Not in defiance, but because they were not recognizing who God really is. Jesus came to reveal his Father, to reveal his love. And I guess to me that's a challenging thing in our lives is how do we know how not to create images of who God is, who Jesus is, and recognize he may be at work in ways we could have never imagined through reaching out and touching. You know, you could have easily said, oh, well, I don't think I'll go by and see that patient, or I'll just I got some other place I need to go more important. Some other people that I can reach, I feel like I can touch. But you ran in and touched. And something happened to you. Something happened to you. And that's the exciting part is something happens to us when we get out of our image of how things should be or how God should be or how a Christian should look like or how this and realize Jesus demonstrated a perfect example as a servant, as a man who let himself be crucified, who let himself be mocked and rose up. What, to me, that's there's nothing more exciting than that.
Whilst we are in this discussion, my mind is taking me back to the Garden of Eden, where man sinned and fell. And Adam and Eve decided to find clothes for themselves. And the Bible says that they went for the fig leaves that could easily tear. But then God himself, despite the fact that man has sinned, he came down, killed an animal, and then gave them the purest of the leathers that was available. So I start thinking about, what kind of clothes do we wear? Are they clothes that can just tear? Or they are clothes that will endure? Clothes of humility, clothes of the love of God, clothes of forgiveness, and everything that brings out the real character of God.
Absolutely.
Or we are just wearing any clothes where we do anything.
Well, like we talked about last week in the lesson, do you show up at the wedding feast without the proper attire? Do you not recognize who you're in the presence of? And you know, you look at all the contrasting stories about Jesus and how he came to reveal the Father, and how far they've come in our, away from understanding him. And yet, they rejected him, the Jewish nation, because he did not come as they thought he would. And I guess that's the challenge each one of us have, is to make sure we don't get so caught in the image of how it should be, or how, well, we've done right, we've been a good Christian, we've been this, we've been that, and this shouldn't happen to us, instead of, here am I, how can I do what reveals more about what I believe God is? And how do I'm open to more understanding of who his character really is? Shall we pray? Dear God, we're so grateful we can come and read these stories. And like that woman, all you desire is for us to reach out and touch your garment. And in that touching moment, you will respond. We're so grateful for that. We're so grateful for all the stories that help us to have a clearer picture. Help us to not just make these good stories, but to really understand how this will really affect our lives and how we can live a more dynamic, exciting, rewarding life in understanding you and who Jesus came to reveal. We thank you so much for this Sabbath day and the day we can renew ourselves and continue to experience refreshment this day. In Jesus' name, amen.